Hello, and welcome to this study of the Word of God. And specifically, we begin today a new study on one of the Psalms. I think we may do a few Psalms. It's a wonderful book. But at first, what I want to do is look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, of course, is very popular and well-known. Lots of things have been said about it. Lots of messages, lots of sermons. It's a great psalm. It's a wonderful psalm. It's very long. I mean, as a chapter, as a single chapter, it's a fairly long chapter. Surprisingly, though, as a piece of the Word of God, it really compares in length very, very closely to the book of James. So we tend to think of it as being very long, but it's really just a long chapter. It's not that long a piece of the Word. The name of, I want to say a couple things about Psalms, the book of Psalms, speak broader than just Psalm 119 for a moment. The book of Psalms is a very interesting book, and I can't do justice to the book. Many, many people have done really good treatments of the book. Robert Godfrey, for example. Many people, Spurgeon, many people have done really good things with the Psalms. But I want to say just a couple things. One, the name of the book of Psalms. You know, there's 150 chapters, and the name Psalms is a very interesting name. Because here we're talking about a Hebrew book with a Greek name. And if you have been listening to any of the other podcasts, you know that we have brought up the Septuagint a couple of times. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And it was created around the 300 to 200 BC mark in Egypt, in Alexandria, Egypt. And it therefore was the Old Testament translation that was most in use in the time of Christ and the disciples. So it's very interesting. And the Bible, as it began to be assembled, benefited from input from the Septuagint. And that's why some Old Testament books have Greek names, such as the Psalms and Ecclesiastes, for example. Those are Greek names for Hebrew books. I find that fascinating. Maybe you don't. But Psalms comes from the word psalmos, which literally means in Greek, songs for strings. Songs for strings. Obviously, modern Jews would today continue to use the word psalms. But traditionally, and maybe in more conservative and orthodox Judaism, you're going to find a different word for the Psalms, and that's Tehillah. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but Tehillah, or probably Tehillim, which is plural, the Psalms. Yeah, yeah. So that's what they would call it. Psalm 119 is very special, but a few more things about the Psalms. And I am struck with, the more I read the Psalms, which I've done for many, many years, I'm more and more struck with how the Psalms are a pattern or a template or an example for us on how God is to be spoken to. Him to us and us to Him. It really is. And you know, Martin Luther called it a prayer book. He called it a prayer book. And it really is. It can be considered, the whole book of Psalms, well, even its five divisions, you know, it has five different divisions, can be considered a prayer book. A template in how we are to speak to God and how we can expect Him to respond and so forth. Robert Godfrey, I already mentioned, he said, the Psalms are words with which we speak to God. Augustine, an early father, called the Psalms the voice of the church. Charles Spurgeon said the Psalms were wings as well as words. Martin Luther called it the prayer book of the Bible. And Nancy Guthrie, a modern-day Bible expositor, said the Psalms are the human heart's words to God. Yeah. Yeah. So the Psalms are very evocative, and they are very heart's words, vulnerable, transparent. They're very, very different from the rest of the Bible. And you might also know, maybe you don't, that the Psalms are the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. Yes, they are. They're the most quoted Old Testament book. So the early church leaders, you know, Paul and Peter and James, they had the Psalms for the most part as their Bible. Obviously, they had some other parts of the Old Testament, but they articulated their faith from the Psalms. I'm going to give you one more quote about Psalm 119 specifically. And this is from David Pallison. David Pallison founded CCEF, and I've forgotten what that stands for, Christian Counseling Evangelistic Foundation, or something like that. A Christian psychiatry kind of combination. And I wish I could say more about that, but I can't at the moment. But he helped found that, and he was a well-known Christian psychiatrist in generations past. About the same time as Jay Adams. Who both David Pallison and Jay Adams did similar work. He was a contemporary of Jay Adams. He said this, Psalm 119 is the prayer of one grateful for how God's word is the basis for his relationship with God. Let me say it again. Psalm 119 is the prayer of the grateful individual who is expressing how God's word is the basis for his relationship with God. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? So the Psalms are the voice of the church, and Psalm 119 in particular is one long prayer. I call it a prayer with a purpose. It's one long prayer of someone who is using the Word of God to know God and is grateful for how he knows God through his Word. Isn't that neat? So, Psalm 119, just a couple more things about it, and then we'll jump in. Psalm 119, 176 verses, which, you know, makes it sound pretty long, but again, that's just because it's one chapter. And they're broken into 8 verses each, which gives us 22 paragraphs, 22 stanzas. And what's interesting about that is this was done deliberately so that it could be done in alphabetical order. This is, in fact, an acrostic. Psalm 119 is an acrostic. And it's not the only one in the Bible. There are actually several acrostics in the Bible. Quite a few other psalms, the whole book of Lamentations, the last chapter of Proverbs, are all acrostics. And what an acrostic is, there are different kinds of acrostics, but generally what an acrostic is when something is written in such a way that it follows the alphabet, either consecutively or some other arrangement of the alphabet. And usually it's alphabet, it's you know, consecutively, you know, A, B, C, D, E. And of course in Hebrew, it isn't A, B, C, D. It's Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Those are the first five. the only ones I've memorized. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Yeah, Hey. Hey is five. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Those are the first five letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And many Bibles, in fact, will have these paragraphs, these 8 verses each, headed by the English rendering of the name of the first of that letter. So if you turn to Psalm 119 and you look at the very beginning, it says Aleph. And you drop down 8 verses, the next chunk says Bet, and then the next one says Gimel, the next one says Dalet, and the next one says Hey, the next one says Va. So those are just words for the letters. And what they're saying, not every Bible has these, but most of them do. And what they're saying is that that chunk of 8 verses is built around that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in fact, every line of every one of those 8 verses in that paragraph begins with that same letter. So in the case of the first stanza, it's Aleph. Every single line in Hebrew begins with the letter Aleph. Okay. So, why? Why did the writer, who conservative Bible teachers believe was Ezra. Why did Ezra do this? There are three reasons, at least, and ones that I've come up with, for having acrostics, for the ancient writers using acrostics. There's three reasons. Number one, the one you've probably heard of, is memorization. I think that's what's in use in Proverbs 31. If you turn to Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, not all the chapter, but most of it, is actually an acrostic. And every verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 verses. From 10 through 31 is 22 verses. And in that particular example, I think that the acrostic is used there for memorization. Because something that's been lost on the modern church, in the modern church today, is the acrostic is actually helping the reader memorize that section, and specifically men. I believe that section was written to men, not to women, but to men. And it helps them memorize that section, which is really a tutorial on how to praise your wife. That's what that is. It's a very interesting section. We just went through that together in these podcasts, and also at the church where I fellowship, we went through it. So that's one reason for an acrostic, is memorization. Another reason the ancient writers used acrostics is for beauty. You know, I mean, that's what prose is. If you look at, you know, certain kinds of poetry and their variations, the more beautiful and haunting of them are more prosaic, not necessarily rhyming or even having much of a meter, but very prosaic. There's a beauty in those things. And I think an acrostic in many cases is done for beauty. And I think that's the case in Lamentations and in some of the Psalms. Some of the Psalms other than Psalm 119. The whole book of Lamentations is an acrostic. That's not well known in several Psalms. So there's that reason. That's the second purpose of an acrostic. And the third purpose is to give a sense of totality, of comprehensiveness. I mean, if you were to pick up a book and on the cover it said the ABCs of baking, or the ABCs of stamp collecting. All right, you follow me? What would you expect? You would expect an exhaustive treatment on that subject, wouldn't you? Why else would someone say the ABCs of, you know, or A to Z? You know, that's maybe a more accurate title. The A to Z of baking, the A to Z of stamp collecting, the A to Z of, you know, horticulture, you know, whatever. You would expect then, wouldn't you, for that book to be pretty exhaustive on that subject. Well, that is exactly a very, very expected and very, you know, practical use of an acrostic in ancient literature, and that is to give the sense of everything there is in this subject, everything there is to know, everything there is to consider. And I think that that is really what's at play in Psalm 119. I think that what's happening in Psalm 119 is the writer is saying, by using an acrostic, he's saying, this is how vast, this is how complete, this is how all-reaching the subject that I'm going to tell you is. And what that subject is, of course, is how we know God through His Word, how we know Him through His Word. Prayer with a point, as I said. Okay, well, that's enough of an introduction. I want to say just one more thing, and that is, I'd like us to have three objectives in studying Psalm 119. I'd like us to have three objectives. It's always good when you are embarking on an instructional piece of work, it's good to know why you're doing it. What are you trying to do with it? What is the outcome? What is the expected outcome? What is your goal? And the goals or objectives that I wish to have here are three. One, I'd like the Word of God just to speak to us. And it does, of course. It does speak to us. And I'll call that objective gems. I want things to jump out at us. I want them to go, whoa, look at that, you know. What jumped out at you as you read it? So we'll call that gems. The Word of God speaking to us, impacting us. The second objective that I'm searching for is, how do we see the person of God in Psalm 119? And of course, we see the person of God in just about every word of Scripture. In fact, we see Jesus Christ in just about every word of Scripture. But the reason I want to emphasize that and make it a goal in this study of Psalm 119 is because there are so many mentions of the Word of God in Psalm 119, we tend to lose the forest for the trees. That is, we don't see the big picture. We only see the details, and we're not really sure of what they mean, how to line them up, and what they convey. And I think by looking for the person of God as expressed in the Word of God and about the Word of God, hopefully we'll see more of the person of God as we look for him. So that's objective number two. And then objective number three is, this is a prayer after all. This is a prayer. And not only do we see the person of God in Psalm 119, but we find the writer appealing to the person of God. He's praying to the person of God, and he's saying things to him. And I want to see what he's saying. I want us to focus on what the prayer is. With the expectation that that is our own prayer as well. That is something we would pray. And I think that'll happen. I think that'll be a good thing to do. So, the three objectives, gems, the person of God, and personalization, or prayer. Now, let's go back for a minute. I mentioned in the second objective that the Word of God is mentioned over and over and over again in Psalm 119. Did you notice I did not begin my introduction with that fact? And there's a reason for that. Because most people focus on that and ignore the rest of the psalm. Is there a lot of mention of the Word of God in this psalm? Yes, there is. There are 176 verses, and only 4 or 5, depending on the version you're using, do not mention the Word of God. Out of 176, only 4 or 5 do not mention the Word of God in some fashion. And there are 8 synonyms. I'm not going to recount them all now, but we have commandments and testimonies and laws and ways and, you know, there's many synonyms. And while some Bible teachers have endeavored to make much of the synonyms, and I don't have any problem with that, but I want in this study not to do that. I want to just keep them as synonyms and let them be, you know, what they are. Other ways to do that is to examine the synonyms and compare them and extrapolate and all that, and that's fine. But again, I think that will take us, so if we do that, that will take us away from that second objective, and that is to look for the person of God. Not only are we going to venerate the Word of God, we seek to venerate the God of the Word. Okay? So that's what I hope we'll do, and hopefully you'll get something from this. Hopefully you'll see God in a significant way and commune with him and connect with him and through this great psalm. So next time we'll jump right in and we'll look at the first stanza. So stay tuned. And as usual, believe God,